Now we're going to go through different loves. Okay. One reason there's confusion about this is the Greek and the English language are just different. It's interesting that the Greek has several words for love where we only have one. But then in other areas, we have several words where they only have one. And you'd think, my, they would have to have more than one word. They don't. Begettal and born is the same word in the Greek. They only have one word. To conceive a child and for a child to actually be born or birthed, same word. Same word. But when it comes to love, we only have one word and they've got a bunch of them, or several. I mean, some of them are words that we have too. They have words for friendship and to be fond and so on. It's just that the translators translate most of those love too when they don't need to. There are English words that will fit, okay? Now, Jesus Christ said, "And you shall love the Lord your God." The word love there is agape. Agapeo, from the word agape. You hear of people say agape. I don't know that it's agape. I rather think it's agape and agapeo. And they think that this is the ultimate love, and that love starts down here and it builds up to this one agape. Because it says in 1 John 4 and verse 8 that God is love. Okay? And the word is agape. God is agape. Now that's the noun. When you use it as a verb, it's agapeo. So here the commandment says, you shall agapeo the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, that should tell us right there that this word agapeo is not all-inclusive by itself. I think Denny and I were discussing this on the telephone last night. If agapeo meant this ultimate pinnacle of love, why did Christ then say you had to agapeo God with all your heart? With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Why do you have to do that if the word contains all of that? Well, the truth of the matter is it doesn't. That's why. When we apply words to God rather than ourselves, they may be the same words with the same meaning, but the intensity changes. If I talk about my strength, that's one thing, right? If I talk about God's strength, same word. Are we talking about the same thing? Hardly. Hardly. You see, same word, though. You use the same word. Okay. So, agapeo, from the noun agape, love, can be intensified by doing it with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. See? You can intensify it. Make it greater than what the word itself means. Important point. Now, he then talks, this is where they ask him about what's the great commandment. He says, the second is like unto it, namely this. You shall love your neighbor with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. No, he didn't say that. No, he did not say that. Listen to me. I say this every meeting we have virtually, and I say it in my papers. You got to pay attention to the words. You can't believe how much is missed in the Bible when people don't look at the words. They think they know what it says. They missed it. They miss it in verse after word, hundreds of scriptures after hundreds. They miss it. Why? They don't pay attention to the words. They just read a bunch of words and they think, I know what that means. No, you don't. Not if you don't pay attention to the words. He didn't say love God this way and love your neighbor the same way. He said you love God, same Greek word love, agape, agapeo. Agapeo, your God, with all your mind and all your soul and all your strength and all your might. agapeo your neighbor as yourself. Whoops. What happened there? What happened there? That's different. We assume we have nice neighbors. My neighbors are nice. We moved her. Next door neighbors brought us a big bowl of cookies. And, you know, we share cups of sugar, my wife and our next door neighbor over here, Tammy. But you could have a neighbor who would be, a wife-beating, drug-dealing, God-hating, monster. Now, does God want you or tell you that you have to love that God-hating, drug-dealing, wife-beating monster with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul? Does he tell us to do that? No, but I could see some self-righteous preachers giving a sermon and saying, well, yes, you have to do it. No, you don't. Well, how are you supposed to love your neighbor? As yourself. You put yourself in the equation. Oh, well, I wish my neighbor would give me $1 million. Well, then you've got to give your neighbor $1 million. You're going to love him as yourself. But I don't expect my neighbor to give me $1 million. Or even $10. And for that reason, I'm not going over this afternoon to give him $10. Can't you see that? But I might want to go over there and borrow his ladder because I don't have a long ladder. Just like he comes over here and borrows some of my electrical drills and stuff. That's good. See, that's good. We do that. But if you don't know what you're talking about, you get stupid with this. Now, then you run into contradictions. In 2 Corinthians 6, turn there quickly. 2 Corinthians 6, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concert has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Don't be yoked. People use this as always referring to a wedding. Don't be unequally yoked together. Don't marry somebody who doesn't believe in God. Well, that fits, but that's not what it's talking about. That's just one application of it. Don't be unequally yoked together to people like this. Well, my next door neighbor is not a drug dealing, wife beating, monster. So I can be yoked together with him, right? No. He doesn't believe these truths. He told me one day if he caught a particular race of people stealing something or whatever, how he would take them apart, how he would dismantle their body with a baseball bat. I thought, whoa, this man could get to be a little rough, if he just caught somebody in the backyard. That's not me. I don't think that way. I'm not going to be yoked to that. We don't go out together. We don't go out to the bar together or out to dinner together or out, whatever, and I get in his crowd. We don't do that. We've never been out with him. I have no intentions of going out with him. Why? Don't be unequally yoked together. Then how can you love him as yourself? It's a contradiction, isn't it? No, it's not. How can you have nothing to do with him and love him as yourself? I'm going to show you. I'm going to try to show you. And believe me, I'm not saying I can exhaust this topic. This topic is more than what I put into it, This topic could go on for days. There's a lot. You don't even know how much is to this topic. I'm going to try to make it simple, but it is a little involved. Okay. In the Old Testament, the word for love is ahab, ahaba, or ahav. Okay? And basically, it's a very simple word. It just means to give. Okay? Or I give. I give. I love you. I give to you. I love you. I give. That's nice. That's simple. That's good. That's profound. That's spiritual. Love, I give.
in the New Testament, we have the words agape, and we have a little different explanation for that. It's a complex emotion arousing appreciation or delight in and desire for the presence of its object, as well as to please and promote its welfare. Now, I got that out of the Concordant Keyword Dictionary, because it's so much better than all the other dictionaries and Dr. Strong combined. I mean, I've gone over definitions of this word agape and agapeo for many hours, and it's really difficult to nail it down. Dr. Strong, in his exhaustive concordance, he translates agape one way and translates the verb agapeo different. Like it was two different words. You know, and I've contended for such a long time with this thing of ion and ionius that no adjective can take on a different or greater meaning than the noun from which it is derived. And yet they take the word ion, which means an age, and they turn it into eternity. It's stupid. It's grammatically wrong. You don't take the word hour, and then when you say, I work hourly, that means you work yearly. No. It still means by the hour. It doesn't change. Just because you change it from a noun to an adjective or a verb or an adverb or something else. Okay? So, but this, now I can see some better distinctions when I use the concordance. It's a complex emotion arousing appreciation or delight in and desire for the presence of its object, as well as to please and promote its welfare. Okay? Now here's the word filio, which we understand the word Philadelphia is known as the city of what? Brotherly love. Philadelphia. It means to be fond of, responsive, affection based on approval and regard. It's not a little complicated. Basically, it's this. The love of God, God is love, is a one-way street. God loves. I give. He gives. Okay? It's not based on whether the ones he gives it to love him back. Okay? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Why? Because he loved us. For God so loved the world, right? That includes all these wife-beating, drug-dealing, God-defying, you know, people. He so loved the world. Did they love him back? No. No, very few people love God back. It's a one-way street. He loves. Not getting anything back for it. He loves. But filio love is where two people are fond of each other and they're responsive, and it has to do with affections based on the approval of the one that you're giving out to, you see? Why are people friends? Because they reciprocate, right? Bob and I go to lunch once a week, every week we go to lunch, okay? If we didn't reciprocate in how we think and talk and you know, build up each other, if you're down or, you know, whatever, I think that would come to an end rather quickly. The only way it's going to come to an end, Bob, is when I can't afford to do it anymore. Not because I don't want to. I have to do it every other week or stuff. But seriously, when you have a close friend, is that somebody who never shows you any love, affection, concern? Is that a close friend? I don't think so. A close friend, a filio, Philadelphia, brotherly love, is where they reciprocate. It's a two-way street. And although God is agape, we say, well, that's the ultimate, it's not as intimate as philia. All my life I heard this pyramid of love, and then up the top there's agape, or agape, the ultimate. Is it really? A couple of things. So I have a very important note here. There are two kinds of love for two kinds of people. Agape, love is what God is. It is the love that has the welfare of others at heart, regardless how evil they are or how badly they may treat us. It is the kind of love that the Good Samaritan showed for the man who was wounded on the side of the road when he fell among robbers or whatever, and they beat the living daylights out of him. You know, the Levite came by, and the priest and the Pharisee, and they said, oh, that's too bad. Look at that. He's bleeding to death. It went underway. But a Samaritan came by, and he used the Samaritan because they despised the Samaritans. The Samaritans were the northern tribe, which intermarried, and you know they were the Hellenists to a large extent. The Good Samaritan came by, and he tended to him, bound up his wounds, carried him to the village, put him under the auspices of somebody there, and said, take care of him, nurse him back to health, here's some money, and I'll be back in a week or two, I'll stop by, if it took more money than I gave you, I'll give you some more money. Now, that is agapeo love. That's not filial love. That's not brotherly love. That's agapeo love. Did he expect to get anything back from that person? No. Did he know him? No. Did he like him? No. Did the man even thank him? Doesn't say. Does anybody think that they became good friends later in life? I don't think so. I don't think so. This man was just passing through. Maybe he had business, he just passed through. Nothing to think they ever became friends. Just for the sheer reason that this is a fellow human being and needed help. He provided not only help, but a lot of help, good help, quality help. That's agapeo. That's not filio. Now, here's one thing that interested me. With all this said, God is agape. His love is agape. He loves agapeo with the agape love. Okay, you got the noun and the verb. But does God filio love? Or is God in this ivory tower where, you know, he just has this great spiritual love and he doesn't get down on our level, you know? No, this is very interesting. In John 3:35, it says that God agapeo his son. Jesus Christ. He agape, that's he has his welfare, everything that's good, you know, for him as a son, that's always in his heart and mind, and so on. Ah, but he also filios his son in John 5 and verse 20. Now in your King James Bible it's going to say love. Say two different words. See? But God does both. He loves his son like a friend, like a brother, like somebody you put your arm around or you give a hug or whatever. Now, does God love us that way? Yes, he does. He loves us with this agape love, John 16:23, and he also loves us with a filial love, this affectionate love.
like a friend, you see. Jesus Christ and his Father are one. They're one spirit. They're one. So you've got the Father and you've got the Son, but they are one. What did Christ say regarding his disciples? He said, I call you friends. Well, guess what the Father's like. Same thing. They have the same spirit. They're one. Whatever Christ says, that's what the Father... Whatever Christ is thinking or does, that's what the Father... Same thing. They're one. Okay. Now, Jesus, it says, loved John. And I looked up the first scripture on that, John 19:26. Agapeo. Oh, no. Don't tell me as close as they were, that was just agapeo love. This was this formal, legalistic, you know, needful, you know, like a king loves his subjects, you know, like President Bush. No, maybe that's not a good example. Ah, sure it is. Come on, I give Bush a bad time. Like President Bush loves Americans. He doesn't know them all. He just loves them as a nation, you see? As a nation he loves them. Not individually, he doesn't even know them. See? But as a nation he loves them. So I'm saying, oh no, Jesus loved John agapeo. Never stop looking. But then we come to John 20 in verse 2. He loved him phileo. He loved them both. Both. He loved him in that he was going to see that he made it into the kingdom of God and that his destiny was going to be in his family. But he loved him like a friend and a brother too. Okay? Now, but now we come to the questions that it also was on the forum and everybody's going crazy about. But does God love everybody the same way that he loves his son and the same way that he loves us? And most people would say, absolutely. And they would give it maybe as a proof scripture, God is not a respecter of persons.
Who is us?
What?
When you say us, who do you mean?
The elect.
Okay, not the whole world.
No, us. Yeah, I said the whole world, but then us, we're not supposed to be of the world anymore. No, he doesn't. In fact, God hates things and people. Now, Webster's defines hate as intense hostility and aversion, although in the Greek, the word hate can mean to love less, not to have a passionate, vindictive type emotion towards somebody. And God doesn't have that. When he has a hostility or an aversion to something, he just means he's going to judge it, punish it, or clean it up. That's all. You can't think that God has human emotions like we do, even though he expresses human emotions like as though he does, you see, even with this thing of love and filial, agapeo love and filial love, brotherly love. When God talks about his wrath and his anger, it's not that he can't control his emotions. He talks to us so that we understand from a man's perspective what these emotions are, see? But boy, you can't tell ministers of this world that this is not literally the way it is, you know? I mean, they think that God Almighty has fingernails, and therefore he must trim them. I wonder what he does with the trimmings. Maybe he saves them. I mean, this is nonsense. God does not have two eyes. That's what's this? Kenneth Copeland. He said God the Father is a 6 foot man. He says he's about 6 foot, 6 foot two. I'm laughing. I said, this guy is insane. Listen, if God is a man, he has two eyes, and that means he can't see behind his head. Now who's so stupid as to think God can't see behind his head? Come on. God doesn't have hands and arms and fingers and toes and hair. This is all, you know, what do you call it, anthropomorphic or whatever. If he were a man, he would do this by the strength of his arm. But he's not a man. He's God. God is spirit. Spirit is everywhere. He talks about sitting on his right hand and his left hand. It's spiritual. He has no right hand and his left hand. He means if he were like a king on a physical earth, those that sat on his right hand would be of a greater elevated position than those on his left. He's talking spirit. It's a spiritual analogy. God doesn't sit on a throne. God is everywhere. God is spirit, and God is invisible. Now that's what he is. And then there's one other major thing. God is, this invisible spirit is, agape, love. Got a concern for the welfare of his whole creation. That's us. That's the whole world. All right. Now, God says, I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Micah 5:14. I mean, that almost sounds like a man so angry he's out of control. You know? No. This is, if you were to picture it as God being a man, this is the way it is. But he's not a man. He's in total control of his emotions. Now, you say, no, God loves everybody the same. Romans 9:13. As it is written, Jacob I loved, agapeo, and Esau I hated. Now, there the Greek can mean to love less by comparison. But it's a quotation from Malachi 1, verse 2. And in the Hebrew, it means hated. Okay? Now, Proverbs 6:16 and 19. These six things does the Lord hate. And then he, you know, a false weight and all this, a lying tongue and so on. But then he says, a false witness. That's a person. A false witness is a person, you see, that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. Those are people that do that. Okay? But he doesn't hate like we hate. Because he doesn't have a carnal mind. And we do. When we hate with our carnal mind. God has no carnal mind. So you can't draw this same analogy. When I say, I want to do something with the strength of my right hand, you know how limited that is. I can pick up one of these 5-gallon water bottles. That's about what I can pick up. But when God says, I'm going to do something by the strength of my, when he says by the strength of his hand, are we even in the same universe? No. Well, if you can see that, why can't you see it then when he talks about things that appear to be human emotions, like anger, my fierce wrath, and all of that? So we have contrasted here now, or two verses that could be at variance with one another. You know, Esau, I hate it. I hate a false witness. I hate those that sow discord among the brethren. But, for God so loved the world. Wait a minute. Does that include Esau? Does that include the false, the people with the false witness? Does that include the one that sowed discord among the brethren? I thought he just said he hated them. Now he said he loves them. Is this a contradiction? Getting into some deep stuff here. Is that a contradiction? I hate Esau. I love him so much I gave my own son for him. What? What is that? Is that a contradiction? No, it's really not, but you do have to understand it. We're stepping out of Sunday school now. We're going to a little higher level. You can have this agapeo love for something you hate. What? Yes, you can. Proof, God does. He hated Esau. He hates a false witness. He hates people. Hates people. He doesn't just hate, you know, false witness. He hates a false witness. That's a person. You see? God hates it. Yet he loves them so much. Actually, the word should not, I didn't mean to mislead you there. The Christian world would have you thinking God loved the world so much that he gave you something. That's not what it means. And Concordant has it right. God thus loved the world. Not how much he loved the world, although it was a lot, but that's not what the verse says. It doesn't say, for God loved the world so much that it... No. It says, this is how he loved the world. That's what it means. The word is thus. He didn't so love the world. He thus loved the world. In this way and in this manner. Okay? Now, in what manner did he agapeo the world? He gave his only begotten son. Okay? But if you say, oh, God so, oh, he so loved the world that he gave you, you're insinuating that he has filial love for the world. Right? He has this affectionate endearment of friendship with the world because he so loved them. No. This is the manner that he loved them. He loved them with this agapeo love, which has the benefit and future of humanity at heart. Nowhere does it say God filio loves the world or any sinner in the world. Mark that.
Now you know what the church teaches. God loves the sinner, hates the
sin. Yeah, well, that's a little too deep for them. That's why they can't accept these truths. Same way they can't accept that God creates evil and uses it often. But we know we got to deal with what the scripture says, or you might as well just fall under the condemnation of those verses that says you despise my word. If you won't believe what it says, not granted, there's a couple places it's not translated right, but not that many. That's why I use a King James, even though it has, you know, eternal punishment. There's no such thing as eternal punishment. There's aeonian chastisement. Two totally different things. Aeonian, age-lasting chastisement or correction to make you better is a whole lot different than torturing the hell out of you for all eternity in fire. I mean, these are not two same thoughts. They're totally antithesis one to the other. Okay? So, this is the manner in which God loves the world, with an agapeo love. A love that is undeserved. They are not reciprocating. Okay? Let me give you another example of agapeo love. Not filial love. Agapeo love. When they crucified Christ and he was dying, he prayed to his Father and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Okay? Now that's agapeo love. Father, these people are blind and deceived. Oh, they're fools. They're hypocrites and fools, blind and fools, as he called the Pharisees in Matthew 23. But nonetheless, see, even though he had such a strong condemnation on the one hand, on the other hand, he says, Father, forgive them. Is this a contradiction? No, it's not. It's the way God is. And we need to be like God is. Okay? We can love our neighbor with an agapeo love. We don't need to fellowship, hobnob with them, or become part of what they are in any way, shape, or form. When God says, love your enemy, okay? If it says, you shall filio your enemy, then I would just have to take my 9 pages of note here, tear them up, throw it away, close my Bible, and say, I have not a clue as to what this thing about love is. Not a clue. But I have checked it out for many, many hours now, and I understand that the Bible does not contradict in this area. God never said, Jesus Christ never said, you have heard, them of old, you shall hate your enemy. First of all, God never taught to hate your enemy. Well, where did they hear that of old? About five times in the book of Psalms by David, who went to his deathbed hating his enemies, telling his son to kill him and make it bloody. That was King David, not God. But people read the Psalms, and so he said, you heard it said. Yeah, they did hear it said. But not of God. But Christ said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Agapeo your enemies. Can you love your enemies and hate them at the same time? Well, we've been... No, you can't. I mean, that's a contradiction. Well, let's think about that for a second. Could God hate Esau and love him at the same time? Not only could he, the Bible tells us that, and it shows that he did. He showed more favor to Jacob than he did to Esau. And yet, you can find some pretty strong promises and blessings. Even though he said, I hate Esau, you can find blessings on Esau in the Bible. I can show them to you. Okay? I hate liars and I hate people that cause discord and everything. Yet, I gave my own son for the world. Why? Because I agapeo them. I think about beyond their you know, couple, four, 70 years of hate and criminality. I look beyond that and I see their future. Agapeo. And maybe we need to learn to do that too. If we're going to be like God. Right? We look at these guys cutting off somebody's head with a rusty butcher knife. And I say, oh, I love him. It's almost perverted. And I'm going to take some flack for this. Don't get me wrong. People would say, oh, Ray, boy, what is he teaching now? When you see those people screaming out of fear and terror for their life. Now, I haven't seen it, but they do show it on the internet, don't they, Dennis?
Michael Savage has got it.
Michael Savage has it on his. You can watch them cut their heads off. Screaming and screaming while they cut their heads off. Now you tell me you want to run up and give those people a hug and a kiss on the cheek and tell them how much you love them? Anyone? Don't be intimidated. If you think so, tell me. I know people who are so darn self-righteous they would say, yes, I would. No, you wouldn't. If you would, you're perverted. Can we look beyond what they're doing and how filthy and evil and corrupt they are and see a time when that evil can be burnt out of them and they can be brothers in the kingdom of God? Can you do that through the Spirit of God? I can. That's agapeo love. When I see them putting a young girl, I mean, you got her whole life ahead of her. And she knows week after week they're going to cut my head off with a rusty butcher knife. Just in stark, living in stark terror. And you say, oh, I have such a warm feeling in my heart for those terrorists. I don't think so. That's not. And furthermore, God never tells us we have to filio love them. As a brother, as somebody you would want to hug, go out to lunch with, do favors for, or kiss them on the cheek. By the way, this was a revelation to me. Do you know several places in the New Testament where it says kiss, and it means kiss, you know? Guess what the word is? It's the same word filio. Filio not only means affectionate love and admiration and fondness for a fellow brother or sister, it means kiss. Okay? It means kiss. Because you kiss somebody that you're fond of, right? Okay? I mean, that's how close they're connected. So God does not tell us that we have to filio our enemies. Or that we have to phileo our next door neighbor. Agapeo. It's a more formal. It's not an emotionally involved give and take two-way street. It's just a one-way, forgiving humanity for the evil that they have. If Christ knew that no one would ever be righteous or good, guess what? He wouldn't have died for them. When it says, while we were yet sinners, the Apostle Paul said, while we were yet in our sin, committing sins, when we were in that condition, Jesus Christ died for us. Okay? Why? Because he knew we wouldn't be in that condition forever. He's going to change us. Hopefully these Bible studies help change us. I have been changed over the last years. I've got a long way to go yet. You could ask my wife. No, don't. Don't ask my wife. But I'm trying and I want to, you see. That's where my heart is. Not there yet, but maybe making a little bit of progress, you know. But God does not tell us we have to filio the terrorists. Okay? Does that help at all? Does it help your understanding? Now, where's my one good scripture here? Wait a second here. I got this one great scripture. This is where the Father's Christ is. Oh, here it is. Okay. It's on my last page here, my last couple of sentences. Okay. Now, I showed you scriptures where God loves his son with a filial, affectionate, hug you, kiss you on the cheek love, and also with this formal, total one-way love for your eternal destiny and well-being, if you will. And that he loves us the same way, and that Jesus loved John the same way, both, you see, not just agapeo, but filio, both ways, okay? Now, I'm going to ask the question, why? Okay? Remember, I gave you two definitions, and I said agapeo is like a one-way street. The Good Samaritan did not expect anything in return for helping that man who was dying on the side of the road. It was a one-way love, you see. But then I said, filio, this brotherly love, this affectionate love, this hug you, give you a kiss on the cheek love, that this is like a two-way street. That the reason we have this love for close friends and your wife and your children and so on is because they reciprocate. You hug them, they hug you back. You do them a favor, they do a favor back. You help them, they help you. You feel sad when they feel sad when you feel sad. That's why you get so close. You support each other, you love each other. You physically have contact, you see? I mean, my daughter's 18 and she still sits on my lap. You know? There's nothing wrong with that. So I told you that. But is there a scripture that actually says that? That's what filio is. And that's why filio love exists. Yes, there is. It is a remarkable scripture. In John 16:27, it says, for the Father himself loves you. And the word is filio. Okay? You'll get this in your notes. For the Father himself filios you, but there's a reason why. Because, what do you think? Because you loved me. There it is.
Why does God love us, his elect? Because we love Jesus Christ. And to the Father, it's the same as loving him. Because no man has seen the Father or heard his voice at any time. But Jesus has made himself known in spirit, he's a comforter, and through his word, you see. So there's your filial love. And it's God's definition. Why does God love us? Because we love... No. He, agape, loves us even if we spit in his face. But the reason he filio loves us, and he loves us and not the world. He does not so love filio the world. It's not in there. He agapes the love. He agapes the world. He does not filio them. The only places where you see God filios anyone is his son and us. No one else. Yes.
It's who he knows. He knows him.
And who reciprocates. He loved us because, he said, loves you. He's talking to his disciple. He said, my Father loves you. He didn't know that before. He said, well, I'm telling you, my Father loves you. And the reason is, because you love me. See, I've given him your word. I've been teaching you. It's the same as the Father. The words that I speak, Christ said, they're the Father's. The things that I do, the works that I do, the words that I say, it's all the Father. And you accept it and reciprocate and love me for it. And that's why my Father loves you. There it is. So we need to have this agapeo love for our neighbors, who maybe we don't like, maybe they're not even good people. For our enemies, who for surely aren't, hopefully, good people, or there'd be no reason they'd be your enemies, right? And for the whole world, we've got to have this agapeo love. But nowhere does God say we have to filio them. Love them with affection, like brotherly love, where we would hug them or give them a kiss. Jesus said, you should not call a brother fool, right? Did Jesus Christ call anybody a fool? Another contradiction, right? Whosoever says unto his brother, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire, Gehenna fire, which just means judgment, not torture. Oh, wait a minute. Lord, I thought you called the Pharisees fools. Twice in the book, in chapter 22. They weren't brothers. How do we know they weren't brothers? Because he was condemning them for their sins. But aren't they still his brothers? No! Christ, remember the occasion when they said, oh, your mother's looking for you, Lord. He said, who's my mother? Who's my brother? Whosoever does the will of my Father, that's my mother, and that's my brother. Did the Pharisees do the will of his Father? No. Were they his brother? No. When he called him a fool, did he sin? No. Should we call a brother fool? No. Don't you call a brother fool. Jesus said, you are my friends, filio, that means dear, friends, I'm actively fond of you. But, he put a little disclaimer on there, if you do whatsoever I command you. There's a song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Somebody read that and they wrote a song about it. What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And some of you might be thinking, well, if he's such a friend, how come he doesn't help me out like my friends would if they could? How come my friend Jesus doesn't do that? How come he doesn't bail me out? How come he doesn't do more things for me? How come he doesn't make me feel better and get rid of my problems? If he's really my friend, why doesn't he do that? I have an answer to that.
This just came to me this morning. It's on your notes. You know why he doesn't do that? Yet he says we're his friends and he's our friend. And we say, wait, boy, somebody I consider a friend would do more for me than I think Jesus does for me sometimes. Don't think that way. You know why? You know why? Because friends don't let friends drive drunk. I'm not applying. That's a spiritual statement. Because friends don't let friends drive drunk. Most of the time, when we want what we want, when we want it, and wonder why God doesn't give it to us, it's because we want to get spiritually drunk. We want to drive in this world a little spiritually drunk. And friends don't let friends drive drunk. Christ won't let you do what could kill you spiritually. So there's a reason why we don't get everything we want when we want it. There's even more, though. We don't get it because maybe it would be okay to have it, but he's building strength in his saints. Spiritual strength. Those who can do without and still love God for not having what they think they need. Now, what do we call that? We call that living by faith. See? If you get everything you need, everything you want, everything you desire, you don't have to have faith for anything. It's when you don't see a way. You don't see a way out of the spiritual prison that Christ has put you. It's got bars on the door. It's got doors with bars and windows with bars, and there is no way out. You've got to pay the price. This is in my next installment of The Lake of Fire, by the way. I mean, part D. There's no way out. You got to pay the uttermost farthing. You say, I don't even know what it is. God knows. God knows. Christ puts you in prison sometimes. You have to live by faith. You have no choice but to live by faith. Either that or give up on God and throw it away and say, I'm through with this living godly stuff. You've got to live by faith. And hopefully that's what we're doing. Okay, I'm through.